As you turn to Job chapter 8, please stand out of love and respect to the word, for the word of God, if you're physically able. Job chapter 8, I'm just going to read a few verses tonight. Not exactly sure how far I'm going to get, but Bildad does have a few more things to say to Job here. But I'm going to read some of them to you here, beginning in verse 8. For inquire, Bildad says, I pray thee, of the former age, and prepare thyself to the search of their fathers. For we are but of yesterday, and know nothing, because our days upon earth are a shadow. Shall not they teach thee, and tell thee, and utter words out of their heart? Can the rush grow up without mire? Can the flag grow without water? Whilst it is yet in his greenness, and not cut down, it withereth before any other herb. So are the paths of all that forget God, and the hypocrite's hope shall perish, whose hope shall be cut off, and whose trust shall be a spider's web. He shall lean upon his house, but it shall not stand. He shall hold it fast, but it shall not endure. He is green before the sun, and his branch shooteth forth in his garden. His roots are wrapped about the heap, and seeth the place of stones. If he destroy him from his place, then it shall deny him, saying, I have not seen thee. Behold, this is the joy of his way. Out of the earth shall others grow. Now, as we do think of Bildad's words, I want to remind you that Bildad's words about God and his ways are truth. Okay? They are truth. It just so happens, though, that Bildad is mistaken about Job's state in this matter. Okay? So I want you to look here at what he says. We talked about the history, the historical factor in verses 8 and 9 and 10. And we also talked about the natural factor of things like in verses 11 and 12. These things are truths. Okay? The past does show us what God has done. And that's real. And listen, history does speak of these things. And yes, our days are short. They are but a shadow. It just so happens, though, that Bildad is mistaken about Job's life and his testimony. Now, as we look at verses 11 and 12, we can see here that the rushes do grow up in the mire, the mud. That's you know what bull rushes are, right? They usually grow in the swampy areas. They need the mud. They need the mire to grow. That's a fact, okay? And so all Bildad's trying to say is, Job, there are just some things that are factual about life. Now, Bildad's trying to say, the fact is, God would not destroy the righteous. Okay? It just so happens that Bildad's facts are wrong. All right? So what he's calling facts. And by the way, the flag, it cannot grow without water. Now, the flag is talking about the flowering part of the bulrush, is what I've understood. How many of you have ever seen bulrushes? They have that kind of that flag type fluffy, you know, ness to them. They need water to do that, to flower. That's the flower of the bulrush, if you will, and such and so forth. So he's trying to talk about these things. He's also trying to talk about the fact that in its greenness, and it's not cut down, it withereth before any other herb. And so he's trying to make a comparison here. He's using natural facts. He's using history, what the past has shown us through the shadows of men's lives. And he's trying to say, in verse 13, he comes to a culmination point, and he says, so are the paths of all that forget God. So he's trying to equate all these things. He's just saying, look, just as much as these things are facts, Job, so are the facts true about people that forget God. They are punished by God. That's what he's trying to say. They are decimated by God. They are destroyed by God. They are put in punishment by God. They are cut down by God, because that's what God does to those that forget him. Okay, so Bildad's just trying to say, Job, there is no other answer. You have no other excuse. You have no other account. You must be one that has forgotten God. Your children must have sinned. Otherwise, God would not have cut them off. Okay, do you see what he's doing here? The picture that he's painting. And by the way, it's if you will, it's very scientific, right? It's very factual. It's very historical. It's very calculated. It's very scholarly of Bildad to come up with these things. Now, whether or not Bildad was a particular scholar of sorts, it sure seems like he was one that knew of the things of God. Remember, we believe that he is a relative of Abraham through his marriage with Keturah. He was a Shuite. Okay, Shua was a son of Abraham and Keturah. And obviously he's going to know about the things of God. And so we realize that, but unfortunately, he's the one who's the hypocrite. Now look at the next verse, or the rest of verse 13, sorry. And the hypocrite's hope shall perish. Now this is the first time that he's mentioning this word hypocrite. And I hope that you understand that a hypocrite is, they say they're something, but they're not, right? They're the opposite of it, all right? So they say one thing and do another. That's what a hypocrite is, all right? So in other words, now he is not just accusing Job of being a hater of God, a forgetter of God, one who has sinned, but he's saying, now Job, not only are you that, but you're pretending to be something else. You're pretending that you're righteous. In other words, the things that Eliphaz began to say about his friend Job, Bildad is now putting a little more teeth to it. And he's saying, not only are you wicked, not only have you forgotten God, have you turned on God, but now you've been playing the part all along. Just a few things about being a hypocrite that we need to pay attention to. Again, in these discourses, we do find nuggets of truth. Don't be a hypocrite. Further, don't live your life so you can be accused of being a hypocrite. Now, I'm not saying at all that Job lived his life to where he could be accused of being a hypocrite. The only reason why an accusation is being made about Job being a hypocrite is because of what God did, not because of what Job did. Do you understand that? Job, if you will, did not do anything to live his life as a hypocrite. Okay? He lived a perfect and upright life. We're told that by God himself. But Bildad declares and proves that if by his theology and his ideology that Job is a hypocrite. He says, see, Job, just as much as a flag cannot grow without water, just as much as a bulrush can't grow without the mud, just as much as these things are natural facts, you're a hypocrite. Because God is not going to cut off the righteous. God is not going to do this. He says there's not going to be any hope for a hypocrite. It's going to perish. And then he goes on and he talks about the hypocrite. And I want you to look at these things that he says. He says this about the hypocrite. He says, whose hope shall be cut off. Folks, hypocrites don't have any hope. By the way, they shouldn't, because they're living a double life, if you will. They're pretending to be something that they're not. For instance, how hopeful were the Pharisees that Jesus dealt with during his ministry? They actually had no hope. Remember Nicodemus? He came to Jesus by night because he had no hope. And he said, we know that thou art sent from God, because you can't do these works without it. And he talked to by the way, Nicodemus got saved. He found hope. But see, these Pharisees, they were white as sepulchres. They were full of dead men's bones. They had no hope. And by the way, they knew it. And I think that's what kind of drove their madness, if you will. They hardened their heart, kind of like Pharaoh did, against God, when the truth was staring them right in the face. You know, Caiaphas and Annas and all these guys, they could have gone to Jesus. You know, they could have even during the time when Jesus was being persecuted and judged and mocked and beaten, they could have pulled Jesus aside for just a moment and said, what must I do to be saved? They had any of those opportunities. But they didn't because they were already hard in their conscience. Look what it says here. It says it shall be cut off. It says, in whose trust shall be a spider's web? By the way, that's not a good analogy. You talk about lies, right? People talk about lies, how they're a web that you catch yourself in your own lies. That web is sticky and it sticks to you and it's meant to capture. And that's the trust of a hypocrite. You can't trust him. It's a sticky web. It seizes those that get caught in its hold. Look what it says here about it says he shall lean upon his house, but it shall not stand. Remember what Jesus said about the man who built his house upon the sand. If you don't have a good foundation, by the way, a hypocrite doesn't have a good foundation. He's unstable in all his ways. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. What's a double-minded man? Basically a hypocrite. So we see all these things that Bildad says. And by the way, are these things true? They are true. It's just not true about Job. So he says but it shall not endure. He says he is green before the sun, and his branch shooteth forth in his garden. His roots are wrapped about the heap, and seeth the place of stones. If he destroy him from his place, then it shall deny him, saying, I have not seen thee. Now this is an interesting illustration, but it's talking about these types of vines and foliage that take over stuff. It wraps up and goes around the stones. And I've been helping Brother Losey, my boys and I, with his yard and things like that. But he's got a... By the way, Brother Losey, we've been calling it poison ivy. It's not. It's poison oak. It has a different shaped leaf. But that stuff is terrible. By the way, I'm really allergic to that stuff too. So it's like... I studied it. And I know it. But it wraps itself around everything and intertwines and intertangles. And you've heard the thing, you know, oh, what a tangled web we weave. So Bildad does talk about the spider's web, but he also talks about this vine. And it shoots out before the sun, and it shoots out in the garden, and it wraps around the heap, and it seeth the place of the stones. And it says, if he destroy him from his place, then it shall deny him, saying, I have not seen thee. And it's deceptive. And it's sneaky, and it's just. By the way, that stuff, it just you don't think you see it, but then all of a sudden, boom, there it is. It just pops right up, and that's how a hypocrite is. As we look to the scriptures and we see about what a hypocrite is, we need to realize that the biblical principles of what Bildad is saying are true statements. They're just not true about Job. He has misjudged his friend because of his other friend, I believe. Hey, how many of you think this? Maybe if Eliphaz didn't have that little vision from the devil about what Job supposedly was, would Bildad have jumped on top of it? He might not have. But he's taking it and running with it and calling Job a hypocrite. He's saying, yeah, Job... Sure, you said you sinned in the last part of your last comment, but I think you're beyond a sinner. I think you're a hypocrite. I think you've all along been pretending to be righteous, pretending to be the one who's got all his ducks in a row, quacking in four-part harmony, and you're just making everything look, you made everything look so good, but yet you're so bad. Because God now has cut you off. And you've woven this web, and you've sucked us all in, and you've been deceptive like a vine, like this green thing before the sun, and you've done these things, and you've drawn us in. So as we understand tonight, we just want to focus on this word hypocrite and what Bildad is saying. I want to go to the scriptures and let you know what the Bible has to say about hypocrites. In Proverbs 11, verses 7 through 9, the Bible says, when a wicked man dieth, his expectations shall perish. And the hope of unjust men perisheth. The righteous is delivered out of trouble, and the wicked cometh in his stead. An hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered. So you notice there what one of the tools that a hypocrite uses is his mouth. So there, what Bildad is saying is, Job, with your mouth, you're a hypocrite. You're destroying your neighbors, your friends, and those that are around you, and we're seeing that destruction right now. In Isaiah chapter 9, the Bible says in verses 14 through 18, therefore the Lord will cut off from Israel the head and tail, branch and rush in one day. The ancient and honorable, he is the head. And the prophet that teacheth lies, he is the tail. For the leaders of this people cause them to err, and they that are led of them are destroyed. Therefore the Lord shall have no joy in their young men, neither shall have mercy on their fatherless and widows. For every one is an hypocrite and an evildoer, and every mouth speaketh folly. For all his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. For wickedness burneth as the fire, it shall devour the briars and thorns, and shall kindle the thickets of the forest, and they shall mount up like the lifting of up of smoke. Did you notice what was mentioned again about the hypocrite? The mouth. The mouth. Matthew chapter 7. Jesus says in verses 1 through 6, judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine own eye, and behold, the beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite. So by the way, what's mentioned once again here? That you say, right? He said that you say. He says, how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine own eye, and behold, the beam is in thine own eye? You understand that a lot of the hypocritical life has to do with the mouth. Now, it has to do with the actions as well, but it has to do with the mouth, what we say about others. Listen to what was said here in Luke chapter 13, verses 14 and 17, through 17. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people. So, the ruler of the synagogue, he's now saying to the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. Because, you know, it's only good to be healed on 6 days. You know, nobody needs to be healed on the seventh day. Right? Okay, just checking. I thought y'all were like that. So, no, that's dumb. Okay, the Lord then answered him and said, thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? He says, you go out and take care of your animals. You go out and make sure that your cattle have water to drink and that they're cared for. And then he says, and ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond of the Sabbath day? And Jesus is saying, look, I'm just letting her loose to go get water. That's all I'm doing. It's this, hey, Mr. Synagogue leader, for me to heal this woman is just like you letting your donkey go get some water. It's that easy. For me, this is not work, right? I mean, is it for Christ? That's not work. So he says this, he says, and when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. The hypocrite shall be destroyed, and all those that forget God. The hypocrite's hopes and dreams shall vanish. The hypocrite's life is not built on the right on the right foundation, and is not able to withstand the judgment of God. The wicked's only happiness comes from his own prosperity, but he shall be denied this after judgment. You understand that the hypocrite is easily destroyed and quickly destroyed, and many times destroyed by their own words. Hey, what was the biggest condemnation for the Pharisees during Jesus' time? Their own words. Jesus so often used their own words against them because they were false words. They were broken, easily broken words. They were things that Jesus could very quickly turn on top of them because they were of no good foundation. Now, just a few things as we finish up and talking about this. Jesus said, if you want to, you can read the, I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm just going to read to you just a few parts of this. But Matthew 23 is an amazing chapter of the Bible. All right? And Jesus goes, if you want to use a modern term, he lights into these guys big time. All right? And he lets everybody know what these hypocrites are all about. Let me just read to you some of the scathing comments that Jesus says. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. By the way, after all of these, there are exclamation points. All right? For ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for neither ye go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Isn't that amazing? I mean, he just smacks them right in the face and says, you don't want to go to heaven, and you want to stop anybody that wants to go there because you're not going there. I mean, that's what he said. And he's like, and boy, the way that, you just talk about a slap right there. I mean, he nails them. Verse 14, he says, woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore shall you receive the greater damnation. By the way, Jesus, didn't he have a soft spot for the poor and the widows and the orphans? And yeah, absolutely. And he says, you're preying on them. You're taking from them. You're deceiving them, if you will. You're using them, and you're going to pay for that. He says, you also make a mockery of a gift that I've given to mankind of prayer. And you're going to pay for that as well. Verse 15, he says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte. And when he is made, yet make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Wow. I mean, that's amazing. Hey, but listen, isn't that what's happening in our religious world today? It is. So we need to pay attention to these things. Verse 23 says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay the tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. So basically he said, for instance, back to this lady that had been healed on the Sabbath, he said, you're going to condemn me for healing this woman on the Sabbath, but you're going to make sure that I pay my tithe on the mint. And on the cumin, and then on the anise, and on these, oh, yeah, because, you know, you need that 23 cents. But this lady, she can't be healed of a disease of 18 years. I mean, isn't that hypocritical? And so he condemns them about these things. He says, these ought ye to have done, the law, judgment, mercy, faith, etc., and not to leave the other undone. He says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and platter. By the way, how many of you would go to a restaurant and you would see a platter or a cup on the outside that's dirty and not want to use it? Right? That makes sense. I can understand that. But here's something that I could understand even better. He says this, but within, they are full of extortion and excess. Can I tell you something? I can pick up a jug. Let's say you've been working outside all day, And the jug's been rolling around in the grass, and it's got muddy handprints all over it, right? I mean, the jug is dirty. Did you know I can open the top of that jug, and I can go like this, and I can tip it up, and that clean stream of water can flow into my mouth, and I can not even touch the outside of the jug and get a clean drink of water. I can do that. How many of you can do that? Yeah, you're all special like me, okay? We can do that. But how many of you want to pick up a jug that's even clean on the outside, but all the dirty stuff is floating in the water? No, thank you. Right? I think I'll go without a drink. Now, if I'm about to perish because of thirst, okay, I'll take the drink. Right? I'm not afraid of dirty water. It's okay. I mean, it may kill you, but at least you died either way. You know, maybe you had a chance the other way around. But no, I mean, that's what he's saying. He says, you're so worried about the outside of the cup, you're forgetting that the inside of the cup is filthy. Won't you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites? For you are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Won't you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites? Because ye build the tombs of the prophets, and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous. You understand, they were building up things that were not to be built up, and they were forgetting what God had done for them and the reason why he instituted those things. They, if you will, they upheld the letter of the law, but they totally abandoned the spirit of the law. And that's not supposed to be done. Bildad was assuming that if Job would have been right with God and a true believer in God, then God would have not and never allowed these trials and sufferings to ever come upon him. So Bildad has come to the conclusion, Job, you're a hypocrite. Now what we need to do is we need to make sure that we know the biblical definition of what a hypocrite is. And we realize that God is the one that gets to define what a hypocrite is. And God is the one that gets to make that judgment, not us. Or we may become a hypocrite ourselves. So what Bildad has done in his discourse to his friend Job is he has basically accused him of being a hypocrite, but in accusing him of being a hypocrite, has become a hypocrite himself. We must be careful to pass judgment on others. Look at verse 20. Behold, God will not cast away a perfect man. Now, he's making a definite statement here. He's saying, Job, you can't be a perfect man. Neither will he help the evildoers. So he says, these are facts. So guess what, Job? Since you're not getting any help, you must be an evildoer. And since all of this has come upon you, you can't be a perfect man. And he says, till he fill thy mouth with laughing and thy lips with rejoicing, they that hate thee shall be clothed with shame, and the dwelling place of the wicked shall come to naught. So he's saying basically that Job's a hypocrite and that he doesn't deserve any of the benefits of God and a life of serving God because he really hasn't served God. He couldn't have, because these evil things have come upon him. So as we look to the scriptures, and we'll talk more about this when we get to Job's answer in chapter 9. But please remember that there is such a thing as a hypocrite. There is such a thing as these facts that Mr. Bildad does bring up. And we need to beware lest we become a hypocrite ourselves. Because God is not in favor of a hypocrite of any type. And we need to be aware of these truths in Scripture.